Problem is that, actually, I only know old guy jokes. You know, okay. For example, two old guys are talking. One old guy says to the other, "Did I tell you I got a dog for my wife?" The other old guy says, "Ooh, that was a good trade." But you see what I mean? That's some kind of joke that only old guys laugh at this year. What kind of guy joke you would guide your wife? But anyway, how's it going? I'm going to start at the beginning, a long time ago, about 4 billion years ago. The universe is mostly hydrogen, and life started on this planet. Bacteria in the sea. And bacteria ate hydrogen. Where did they find it? Obviously in the water molecule, right? H2O. And there was a problem with the oxygen. What to do with it? The oxygen went up into the atmosphere as a gas. So after about 2 billion years of this, with the bacteria eating all the hydrogen out of the oxygen molecule, there occurred something that has come to be known as the oxygen holocaust. The air became so toxic that life on the planet started to die off. It died off about 2 billion years ago. And life had to evolve into something that could be congenial with oxygen. We don't know what the atmosphere was like in those early times. You know, maybe it was a lot of carbon dioxide, like on the other planets, Zero, which are like 96% carbon dioxide. We could not exist in that kind of atmosphere. In any case, the bacteria evolved into life, a life form that could exist with all this oxygen in the air. So it was no longer toxic. And since then, the oxygen level in the air has always been kept at about 20%. We don't know who's keeping it at 20% or what. Some people say God, other people say other things, or just an accident. We don't know. It's a mystery. At 19% you suffocate, at 20% you catch fire. Also since then, the last 2 billion years since then, life has been evolving into various forms. At some point it was decided that just splitting in two was not a very efficient way for life to go along, and evolved into sex characteristics where creatures combined, male and female, to produce offspring. This was thought to be, by somebody, be a more efficient way for life to evolve on our planet. And that's where we are. We have male here, female, and our... Thanks, Ben. Okay. We're basically sea creatures. We come from the sea. But when you cry, your tears are salty. When you bleed, your blood is soft. Basically, you're a big bag of water. Skin keeps us from drying out. Skeleton allows us to walk around and dry land. Life, as the continents emerged, life wanted to make use of all that dry land, and that's where things started to change and evolve pretty quickly. At some point, I'm not too clear on the numbers, although I've seen them lots of times. I don't know if it was 600 million years ago or 100 million years ago, whatever, can't remember. Something called the Cambrian explosion, when a lot of different species came up at once. You know? And then some of them, I guess we evolved out of somewhere, somehow, not too clear on it. The connections in the fossil record are not very distinct. But that's where we're at. We're sea creatures. We do this sex thing where we have male and female. Okay. In our own species, people are born all kinds of different ways. In this group, no question about it, we're all hetero. We're all interested in social dynamics of getting gay. That's pretty exclusive. Whether you had gay experiences or not, we don't want to know about it. I always say I'm going to have a gay experience on my deathbed. If I like it, I'm going to be really pissed off. So, or sometimes when challenged, I say that I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body. It hasn't worked out so badly. Okay. So that's where we're at. But people are born in all kinds of different ways. As I was telling some guys here a minute ago, I know a very beautiful girl could be in Playboy or Magazine, whatever. Girl in Texas. 6 feet tall, gorgeous blood, perfect body in every respect, was born with male characteristics and also female characteristics. I don't remember if they're called transgenders or hermaphrodites, whatever. Born with both sexual characteristics. I can't even imagine it. Now, I guess she had surgery to remove the male characteristics. She felt she was more female. But she still has certain male characteristics in her mind. For example, she likes to work on tires. Does her own plumbing, stuff like that. The perfect woman. Not only is she gorgeous, she'll repair your car. So a very small percentage of people are born like that, you know. And also, from what I understand, something like 6% are born homosexual. I don't know. I've also read 10%, I don't know exactly. Actually, homosexual is exaggerated figures, you know. and you're more or less determined by your fantasies. Because, of course, the fantasies are the one thing you can't fight. You know? A gay man may marry and have children and so forth, but if he's got gay fantasies, you really can't fight it. So more or less that marks you. The fantasies from the start mark you in who you are and what you are. In my own case, I remember very distinctly, perhaps my first memory of a sexually based memory of some kind is like when I'm 3 years old, I was walking along the street with my mother, and in those days I had long blonde curls. My mother grew my hair, long blonde curls, he was very cute. And we passed on my father's friends, and some asshole remarked, oh, that's a cute little girl. I knew very well I wasn't a little girl. I remember I was really pissed off. Being taken for a little girl. So, you know, I was about to become gay. You know, that's pretty good. So, that's my earliest memory. My earliest sex-based memory. I had a prejudice against being thought to be a girl, so you know I didn't know why I would do that. When I was 5 years old, I kissed my first girl. I'll tell you how that came about. Used to go to movies in those days, see people kissing, you know. I used to think to myself, wonder, you know, what people saw in it. What was the deal? You know? So finally, I remember very distinctly, I was like 5 years old, and the little girl was five or six or whatever, was standing in the vestibule. I was very careful to isolate her. Even though I didn't know anything about dating, you know, I isolated her. Got her in the vestibule of our building, you know, and her stand, I remember very distinctly standing by the front door. I said to her, "Do you wear lipstick?" Well, 5 years old or whatever. She said no, and I grabbed her and I kissed her. From what I heard later, she fainted. My mother talked about it for years. You know, little girl had fainted downstairs. Kind of strange. Well, I kissed her, and thought to myself, nothing in that word. Couldn't figure it out. And every year, about once a year, I grabbed some little girl and kissed her. And each time I think it was I couldn't figure out why people did it. I didn't seem to be much different. I think I finally figured out in my 12th year. I guess before my 12th year, I figured out there might be something to it. So that's my history in kissing. When I was 12, I learned where babies came from. My parents being very traditional, I learned about it in the traditional, conservative, time-honored way from other children in the schoolyard. Right? That's the traditional way. I remember hanging with a bunch of guys who were playing pinball or something, or baseball against the wall at Darwin Grammar School, and the way we talk after school. So some guys, you know, told me how babies were made. And I said, "Oh no, that can't be right. No. Maybe most of you guys learned earlier than I did. I don't know. Anyway, I was 12. That can't be right. You know, that's ridiculous." So went home, studied my parents very carefully. No, they didn't look too uncomfortable or guilty or anything. resented it. Though eventually I learned to accept that. And also, Miss Cole, the gym teacher at our grammar school, also helped me to accept it a little bit, you know. You'd probably be thrown in jail today, you know. Well, such a joke, you know. These nice-looking babes, you know, have a romance with a 14-year-old kid in the school, a 15-year-old guy. Well, you know, all the little boys are dying to boink her. You know, it's so ridiculous to put her in jail for it. You give her the medal. God. You know, like these guys are so innocent. Yeah, right, yeah. They're all thinking, why am I going to point this gun for it? Like nobody's there. You know? So instead they put him in jail. Well, fair enough. But anyway, it was cool. Never got caught. At least they have a bit of fun in the backseat of her four after school dances. Yeah. Love that woman. Oh, no. Okay, where was I? Let's see now. Oh. Okay, when I was 13, notice I started the beam, we're moving right towards the end pretty fast. When I was 13, I remember standing in front of the urinal at Darwin Grammar School. There was a kid by the name of Frank Erskine. Frank was like, I don't know, 1 or 2 years older than everybody else in class. Standing next to Frank, and I looked over, got all this hair around his mouth. Me, I didn't have any hair. I didn't know you were supposed to. And I thought to myself, what? And Frank looks over me and he says, you want to know how I got all that hair on me? He says, well, this is by doing this. Pulling on my, you know, oh, yeah, really? Oh, interesting, you know. And you want to know something? It worked. Thanks a lot, Frank. When I had a buddy lived next door, Freddie Schlosser. Freddie Schlosser was the most natural you have ever come up with. Freddie understood women perfectly. He was like 14 years old or something. Little girls used to pay him $1 for kids. I mean, that's like $10 a day or something. And absolutely super cool, knew exactly what to do. I understand female psychology perfectly. And Freddie gave me my first instruction in game. First I got it from observing him, and then after I turned 14, maybe he thought I was ready, I don't know. He just gave me various instructions. How to do takeaways and freeze outs and the psychology of women and maintaining your frame and so forth, you know. He didn't use all the terminology that we use today in game, but Freddie definitely has Tom Patrick, no question about it. I just wish he had told me more about fit testing, but maybe he just took it for granted. He told me more about it, he just didn't codify him with us. So I just learned game from Freddie. And I started using that in high school, I don't know, sophomore year or something like that. And you know, something worked. Absolutely worked. But then I got tired. After I got out of high school, I don't know. It didn't feel congruent to me. I was born to be a smart, so the point being cool, I relapsed, you know. After that, successful living was almost accidental. But as I look back, I realize that now, having studied game, that success was due to proper gaming. You know, and where I failed was due to improper gaming, you know, not gaming correctly. So, gaming definitely works, and I can see it in my background. You know. I guess I read Neil Strauss's book, about a year and a half ago, something like that. I like Neil Strauss's book, and also I like The Art of Seduction. Those are my two favorite books. I know guys read a lot of different things, but those are very adequate. Okay, Freddie, game, high school. But even so, even knowing game, I didn't score all that well. For one thing, I didn't own a car. Didn't have a car available all the time. I didn't have my own apartment, so where was I supposed to take it as far as isolation goes? When I could get my parents' car to use, you know, I could isolate somewhat, And the girls also didn't have their own place, you know, so it was very hard to get laid. And so we used to make great use of the back seat, the large cars of that era. Now, on the other hand, Chicago has got kind of a difficult time. And boy, you can get your dick frozen, you know, spot in the middle of winter, you know, or driving on ice and the baby grabbing your, you know. You don't want to tell her no, it might be your last chance, you know, but why do you need to get one, you know? I remember many times a big time make out with me while I'm driving the car, you know, almost had a few collisions here and there. So anyway, so it was kind of difficult. And I didn't even see my first pair of tits, I think, until I was 17. So, you know, there's some girl who fancied herself a bohemian, you know, probably took me to everybody. I remember how surprised I was. They were kind of lumpy, aren't they? You know, I thought there was supposed to be like a big cyclops eye, like a few. You know, all the big tits kind of stuck out with points like that, you know, so that's weird. Yeah. Right, pretty neat, let's look like that. It was all right. No big deal. So anyway, we're going along. 17, find myself birthday. Still haven't gotten laid. And in my neighborhood, I was like, terrible. Could never let anybody know I was laid at age 17 or 18. Because all the other guys were lying better than I. They're all saying they got laid after they must have. I was 18 years old, something like that. That's right, have to be 18. There's a girl upstairs. I thought about gaming. Well, wasn't too much game involved. I used to babysit for her little girl. You know, a couple of nice little girls. My brother used to babysit for her. She was a good friend of my mom's. She was a girl in her 20s. And one time I'm up there sitting there, I'm about to go away to school. University of Chicago, I think, I was about to leave for that summer. And I figured I wouldn't not be seeing her again anyway, so I didn't have anything to lose. I wouldn't, you know, otherwise I might be afraid of continuing embarrassment. You know, I mean, if I had to see her all the time, she lived upstairs in the apartment building. So I just sitting next to her watching TV, she's watching TV, and I said, do you want to fuck? Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. Not just something like that, but that. And she laughed. You know, I said, well, that's the end of that, you know. That was a big strikeout, you know. She laughed, and he said, oh, that's so ridiculous. You know, you've probably got all kinds of girls in the neighborhood that are after you because you're so cute, you know, and so forth. Of course, I didn't want to tell her that. You know, I was still a fucking virgin girl. So, oh, yeah, I said, all girls. Mom and me, I'm just swamped, you know. So I guess I had come up on the pretense of borrowing her vacuum cleaner. Don't ask me why we couldn't afford to own a vacuum cleaner. But anyway, so on the way out, I figured, well, that's a dead deal, you know. Carrying out the vacuum cleaner. And on the way out, as she's closing the door, she says, come back tonight at 8. Close the door. I'm holding the bag. Did I hear that? Yeah. Nah, it must be a mistake of some kind, you know. So I go downstairs, use the vacuum cleaner, come back at 8 o'clock, I hold up the vacuum cleaner like this, you know, I wasn't sure exactly what was going on. She's in a negligee. Very nice. There wasn't no Victoria's Secret in those days, but there was the Pony Express and so forth. And handed the vacuum cleaner, wiped me inside, sit down, you know. And I sit down, and I still don't know if the thing was on or not. And she starts running her fingers through my hair. Oh, that naughty girl. I'm so shocked. So, next thing you know, I'm ashamed to say, I let her take advantage of my beautiful body. That was a big guy. Yeah, right. So anyway, and of course, afterwards, she told me, go tell your mom, boy, he's fat. Like I'm going to call my mom, you know. And, oh, I'll never say. Kedzie Boulevard yelling, ah, it's hard. I'm a guy, what do you want from me? Yeah. The other night I'm watching on public television, Channel 11, I guess. There's a thing with two birds, a couple of eagles or something, and one eagle has jumped on the back of the other eagle, is giving it the works, you know, in flight. Oh, he's a baby, that's an eagle. You know? And afterwards, the eagle is finished, male eagle is finished, flies off, he's going, ah, 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 you know? And the announcer is very serious. Well, that appears to be some sort of baby cousin. You can't understand. He's going out with that. I think to myself, that's not hard to understand. He's yelling to all of his pals, hey, man, I made it. He's yelling to all the other eagles. Hey, yeah, I made it with her. I made it, yeah, man. Oh. So anyway, so that's how I got started. Our life and sex. Get me too far. Okay, so now see, that brings us to age 18, something like that. Oh, but we got 30 minutes out of that. And then I had a life of crime when I went with a lot of different days. You guys have it a lot easier in many respects than my era, so to speak. Besides the fact that Edale is a lot faster than the Pony Express rider, he used to carry the map, but you know, there is no war between the states anymore. But it got a lot easier. Now, more girls are living by themselves in their own apartments, whereas in my day, most all girls lived with their folks. Couldn't afford their own apartment, that's what they made. And also, sexually, society is a lot freer. Culturally. You know, babes have more sex before marriage or anyway. Maybe they're having it before, we didn't know about it. So it's a lot easier. When I was 18 or 19, something like that, there was only one section of the city where there were singles living. That was near North Side, like around Winston State. The other neighborhoods, like Belmont Avenue, Lakeview, and all, it was all family neighborhoods. You know, girls didn't live by themselves or with other girls or there weren't that many single guys either. Guys lived at home too, didn't make a lot of money. Nowadays, more of you can afford to live by yourself and have your own apartment with other guys, so everything's fair. More girls in the clubs, when they changed the age, at one time, the age for drinking in the clubs was 21 for guys, 18 for girls. And when they changed it to 21 for girls, all the babies disappeared. You couldn't find anything going on. Just useless. You know. We went to dances and so forth. That's found a way. I used to go to church. I used to join choirs in churches. Lord, right? You guys don't know. You're missing the best. You know, give that a little bit of examination. What? Yeah, boy. Have a lot of these really gorgeous girls in these choirs, living at home, repressed by their folks, living a very strict life, you know. And after all, what's the competition in the choir? The other guy? Kind of guys are in church choir, right? Yeah, I used to go from choir to choir, you know, making out. Found money. So if any of you guys can sing, or even if you can't, take my accounts. Might you could do worse than that. So spend a few years going from choir to choir around the city. You know, a lot of parents in those choirs. Even with the parents on the other side of the wall, I was like, oh, wow. So, but like I say, now you have more clubs to meet babes at, more babes going to the clubs and so forth. So your prospects are a lot better. And also, girls used to marry younger. They lived with their folks longer, and they also married younger. So by 24, a babe was already an old maid. The babe wasn't married at 24. I figured there must be something wrong with it. Yeah. And they asked some guy as a real kid, you know, to look after her. And the kids. Years ago, the women did a lot more work around the house, so more or less you had to have a woman at home. Just to do washing and ironing, you know, a couple of days a week. Monday they wash, Tuesday they iron. Already 2 days out of the week, you need to have somebody at home to look after business for the things. Now, you know, you've got washers and dryers, so girls wind up going to work and they're making more money. They're a lot more independent. They don't need us as much, you know. And you can see that in their attitude. That's why game is more important. All you guys are going to beat all the other guys on the street. Just by opting for self-improvement, you put yourself automatically in the upper 1% of all guys. And even you guys who don't think you know game all that well, I'm sure now if you went out tonight watching the chaos that other guys are carrying on, you'd be able to see mistakes that they're making. You know, you already know more the minute you opt the game than 99% of the guys out there. 99% of all the guys out there will never make any attempt to improve themselves. They'll take whatever life hands them, more or less. You already made a decision. You want to do better. You went right to the top, and then you made that decision. You just don't know it. Yeah. There's a popular myth that some baby is sitting on a stool in a drugstore in Hollywood, and a producer comes by and says, "You want to be in a picture?" Next thing you know, she's a star. You just sit there, all she wanted was a cup of soda. That's bullshit. Absolutely 99% guaranteed that she had made a conscious decision to be sitting on a stool there in the drugstore because she knew definitely people passed by there. She might need somebody who could help her make a career. Nobody's going to do anything for you in this world gratuitously. You have to make a decision. You can do it for yourself and better yourself. The world will give you only what you settle for.
Yeah.
Maybe you know that already. But you guys have opted for game. So you can't fail. You're going to do better than everybody else. And game can be used in every walk of your life. Game in your life. Hey!
How are you?
Fancy. Game and me have been working on job hunt game. And he's been pretty successful. Yeah. In fact, he's been asked to take over as President of the United States. Now that we've gone through the list of everybody else. Yeah. So, but he's been pretty successful, and I think he sees now that the principles of game are applicable in everything that you do. In job hunting, employment, romance, game, everything in your life, you know, is going to be a seduction to some degree or a negotiation and so forth. And if you understand how people's minds work, like I've been explaining to him how to deal with these people at this fund, this hedge fund, where he's going to deal. It's just like romance game. If they know everything about you, they're going to have less incentive to fuck you. You know? If they know everything about you, they're going to have less incentive to want to see you come back. You know? Job hunt game, the same thing. So you give them as little as you can, get as much out of them as you can, power is knowledge, and you'll always have that halo, a little bit of a glow. There's something about you that they haven't quite put together. Just like in romance, same thing. Once a girl learns everything about you, she needs you for it. Then she's... Ralph Waldo Emerson, was it? Somebody describing somebody that he had met, you know. And he said, start with high expectations. You think they're an endless sea to swim in. And then you discover, once you get to know them, you find they are only a pond. Well, most of us are only a pond. Get to know us, we all have our parameters. So that's why it's best to give people as little information about yourself as you can get away with. In the romance game, job hunt and so forth, game applies to every walk of life. Okay, now that we've been talking about you, let's talk about it. Enough of that. I'm not bullshit. Okay, so I married late compared to most guys of my era. You know, guys should be married, were then married like 25 or something, you know. And, but I think I was maybe, let's see, 32 or something, I got married. Because I was making out with plenty of babes, you know. I was doing pretty well. Anyways, not that I knew anything about gays, but I realize now that I was following the element of gay properly when I scored, you know. That is, demonstrate higher value, isolate, so forth, all the things that you learn from game, various procedures. And finally I met a girl, I was ready to get married, running out of my possibilities. In those days, when you were that old, boy, I'm telling you, running really pretty short on possibilities for a good sex life, if you were a very successful guy. And my prospects were not very good. My economic prospects were not very good. Losing my hair, looked like crap, you know. So more or less I was ready to get married and find some kind of a life in that respect, or have that kind of impulse in that direction. I was going with an American girl at the time. We would never have made it. Aren't too weird. She wanted $8,000 just to go out and buy furniture. We got married. $8,000. I was living hand to mouth. I was probably living with my parents at that time anyway. I was a struggling writer, and in between I would have various jobs. That's how I came to know so much about job hunting. All the years that I would have a bad patch as a writer, I had to go out and get a job. Consequently, I'm an expert when it comes to getting jobs. I'm really good at teaching. You know, I'm really good at getting it. Right? Strong suit. So I published paperback novels. Did paperback novels, I did nonfiction books, I did magazine articles, magazine stories. I published in 11 languages around the globe. You know. But I made a living. Nowadays, people would think that's pretty good. About 16 years as a freelance writer. But, I don't know, it's hard to get rich as a writer, unless you have some really big score. And that's goal prospecting. Few people get that, but you better. So anyway, I'm going with this American girl, and then I went to Vietnam, where I was a war correspondent. And on the way back from Vietnam, I stopped in Australia, living there for a while. On the plane from New Zealand to Tahiti, well, there's this gorgeous girl. I see her in the airport, New Zealand. I walk around her. I was in on the walk around above in the airport. I'm eyeing her. She's really definitely 11. And I was a dog, more or less, you know. Beat up, dark circles under my eyes, old jeans, you know, I go around them. Wearing the same jeans from 1 week to the next. I was a dog. But I inserted myself into the line and said hello to her. Her nose was in the air. Like that. And we were on the plane, but I didn't have a chance to talk to her. Then in Tahiti, I ran into a guy. Some of you guys might have read this story. I posted once on the board, actually, how I met my wife. But in Tahiti, I started hanging out with a tennis pro. Nice guy. We went to various joints, you know. We're in the hotel one night, and she's at the bar with a guy, a Swiss guy that I had also met. Incidentally, I learned later that he warned her not to have anything to do with me. I didn't describe it. I probably wasn't my advantage. You never know. So, she turned me down. Asked her again, turned me down. Third time, she said yes. And after that, she wanted to ask me to be on. So just because a girl says no, you know, can't take too seriously anything they say to you, you know what I mean? Just to start with, they're another species than we are. Nothing they say is too important. You carry your own frame with you, you know what I mean? You determine what the frame is, not them. I've got a babe right now who is writing to me from Carroll Stream, telling me that if she doesn't hear me from me immediately, she's going to do drugs or do something else to embarrass her. So what? Oh, it's too dry. I give a fuck. That's all I got to think about. You know. One of those small people doing drugs. Why shouldn't you do it? You know? You got to be ruthless. Believe me. And like quite a few of them, this has happened quite a few times, he says, if I don't hear from you, that's it. We're finished. Never want to hear from you again. I won't write back to you and so forth. Can't tell you how many times I've heard it. Okay, I sent her a note today. What do you think? Did she write back to me? Of course you missed it. This guy is such my dick. Poor devil. And you know something? I might let her. I don't know. We'll see. Or I might call for a stunt dick. Stunt dick. Yeah. Nah. So you can't take too seriously anything they say. Anything anybody says to you as far as negotiation goes, romance game, job hunting, whatever. I was instructing Gambit how to maintain his frame. Keep them in his frame. I told you their frame. You know what I told you. You know, like I say, I recognize the principles of the game, and I can see where I have been successful because I use those principles properly, and where I was unsuccessful because I didn't use it properly. But some things I didn't have codified, really didn't understand very well. And in fact, were totally new to me from Neil Strauss's book. Just for example, the concept of the shit test. Really, are they doing that? As old as I am, and I didn't know that, do you believe that? Just 2 years ago or something. Now I can see it. Now I can recognize every shit test that comes down the road. It's easy for me. You know, it's like the light was shining on. Also the concept of frame, you know, framing. So I have picked up a couple of things. So oddly enough, even though I'm getting more expert at game, the quality of pussy has been falling off for me in the last year. I don't know why. Okay. Who knows? I'm gonna take a break off here. This year, I'm working out. I'm going to get a great suntan. I'm going to walk the dog. That's all. Go dancing a little bit, you know, but I'm not pursuing any babes too much. In fact, I'm off Match.com. I'm off the dog. I got quite a few babes that are in touch with me, but I'm not too much. They're going through change of life. Yeah. I'll probably come back to it. The odds are I'll come back to it. Even at this late stage. Okay, where was I? Okay, so I met this day. Friend just the other day. She danced with me and gave me her address. We walked back to her room. Didn't even kiss the address. And I told her that night that we were going to be married one day. Like the looks. So forth. And years later, she always used to brag to her friends how Neil told me the first night we met that we were going to be friends. Of course, I never told her. I used to tell her that. This girl. So anyway, so we exchange addresses. And usually when you travel, you meet various people. You know, you never contact them again. You go to exchange addresses. But in her case, I did write to her, you know, and I think she was very surprised. We started a conversation back and forth. And at some point, I sent her a one-way ticket to Chicago. She was living in England, England girl. So already I had higher value because I was a writer, you know, and American, brain. Yeah, I had higher value at that time. I don't know if it would still. Nowadays, a lot of English people are already traveled to America, so it doesn't mean carry any cachet anymore. But at one time, it meant quite a bit. English were not as prosperous 30 years ago or whatever it was. So I already had higher value. And once she came to America, she always distracted me how she opened the envelope and said, "It's a figure." You know? Yes, her mother wants to do it. Her mother told her to go for it. But her Uncle Johnny gave her a return ticket on the side. So she came out, and of course, what did I do first? Isolate her, right? Sort of, he didn't talk to any other guys, you know, so forth. And got along with it. So having my folks had a big house, so he moved in with us, I was able to see it from a very practical standpoint that I could live with her in the same house. Most of the babies you go with, you don't get this kind of time, you know, unless you live together. So I knew that we'd get along. It was a very practical judgment on my part. I don't think I ever told her I loved her. I don't know if she ever told me she loved me. I guess she's definitely stuck on me. But when you select a girl for with a practical nature like I have, with all that love crap as far as I'm concerned, a bunch of bullshit, moonlight as far as I'm concerned. If you have a practical nature like I have, and you select a girl on the basis of certain practical things that you're looking for. Like, she look good, she know how to make bacon and eggs, so forth, you know. Is she going to be a good mother, you know. Select a girl in practice. Nature, well, my experience has been that I loved her more at the end than I did at the start. Because you build up shared memories, you know. These memories bind you like wires tied together. I loved her more at the end than I did. Whereas if you start off with moonlight, it's easy for that stuff to fade out as you get to know each other and get bored with each other. So, I've had four kids, my eldest daughter is a journalist, won a lot of awards, and also first girl to swim the Mekong Delta. And does figure skating, successful girl. My eldest son is a writer, published 10 books. Maybe some of you have already read about him, because the name of the last book on the board. In fact, he just came through in the Sex Workers Art Show. Was up at the Abbey Pub.
Yeah.
Stephen Elliott. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your screen name?
Niv.
Niv, oh yeah, right.